Please turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the last chapter of the book of Daniel as we close out our study of this great Old Testament book, Daniel chapter 12, remembering that this is then the conclusion, the ending of this final vision that Daniel is given, a vision that lasted three chapters for him to describe and to set before us. Because it is so intense, it is so packed with information for us, but still so applicable to us as God's people today, as we too live in a world filled with trials and tribulations. Daniel chapter 12, it's a passage, a section, as you'll notice in the ESV, is entitled The Time of the End. We begin at verse 1, reading to the end of the chapter. Congregation, hear the word of the Lord as it is read for you this morning. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation, till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awaken, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream, and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. And then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,200 and 90 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. As far as the reading of God's holy word, may his Holy Spirit bless it to our hearts as we study it here this morning. I draw your attention to our text, which is really the last sentence of that long verse 1, end of verse 1 then, but at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. Let's ask God's guiding hand upon his word brought forth this morning. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would truly send your spirit in rich measure upon us to help us understand these times of the end. Lord, so easily we get all caught up in wild imaginations, and so badly we want to know when this time will be, how it will take place. Father, may we find our confidence and our trust knowing that you have all these things in the hollow of your hand, that no matter how strange, abnormal, perverted this world may become, that yet you will guide and preserve your people to the very end, that your church will always stand, and that your name will be praised by us. Help us to pray your name even here this day. Lead us, guide us, and keep us. Send your Holy Spirit in rich measure and open our eyes and calm our hearts. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Dr. Ian Duguid, whose commentary I really appreciated in working through the book of Daniel, he's an Old Testament professor at Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia, but he makes this assertion in his commentary on this last chapter of the book, and I'm quoting here, "We live in a world that is profoundly broken. The apocalyptic parts of the Bible, including this part of the book of Daniel, remind us that this earth cannot simply be fixed, it must be recreated." End of quote. And beloved, we can relate to that truth in this strange year of 2020, can't we? But beloved, we must never forget that no matter how strange not just the year may be, but the world may become, we must never forget the promise that we have in God's holy word that one day this world will be recreated, that all sin and evil in the end will be eliminated. And beloved, we look forward to that day, don't we? We pray, "Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus." But congregation, the Bible is also honest enough with us to tell us that until that last day comes, brokenness and suffering, pain and persecution will continue to be the normal state of affairs for us as believers in Jesus Christ. As Dr. Duguid puts it, and I'm quoting again here, "The book of Daniel never assumes that we would find living in a world like this easy. On the contrary, it anticipates the fact that we too will find ourselves crying out, 'How long, O Lord? Where are you? And what are you doing?'" And these are the questions that Daniel 12 is designed to address. End of quote. And beloved, this really takes us then right into the first point of the message this morning, the last days. And these days are summarized for us in verses 1 through 4. And here we see that there are really two totally opposite responses to all the hurt and the pain going on around us. And they're made by two totally opposite types of people who live upon this earth. Those who are wise and those who are wicked. Read those first couple verses with me again. Start at verse 1. "At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation, till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Now, congregation, take notice that opening phrase of verse 1, "at that time," and how it's repeated again at the beginning of the last sentence of this verse, our text, "but at that time." And what time is that? We should ask ourselves. Well, remember, it's the time of the great tribulation, which is what the last part of chapter 11 was describing for us last week in verses 36 through 45. And that description simply carries on into chapter 12 through verse 4, where at the end of verse 1 we have that phrase, "everyone whose name shall be found written in the book." Now, beloved, as New Testament believers, that description should immediately take our mind to the book of Revelation, where in chapter 20, we have described for us what is called the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment, that's Revelation 20. This is the final judgment, you see, that every soul who has ever lived on the face of the earth will stand before God and be judged. Let me read that for you. Revelation 20, you don't have to turn to it. You might want to write it down. Actually, any and all of chapter 20 applies and fits to Daniel chapter 12. But let me read just verses 11 and 12 and then verse 15. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. That's where it gets its name, the great white throne judgment. And from his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And then verse 15, and if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, of course, before anyone can be judged, anyone who has died can be judged, they must first be raised from the dead. So there is a day of resurrection of which Daniel 12, verse 2 speaks. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Notice how those two types of people on earth are clearly described for us here. They're singled out and delineated. Those who are the elect, they then will receive everlasting life. Those who are the reprobate, who then receive everlasting contempt. Now, beloved, we must make note, and I must comment here, on how Daniel at the very beginning of verse 2 states that many of those who sleep shall awaken. Many. And you say, but I thought you just said at the great white throne judgment, everyone who's ever lived is going to stand there and be judged. Beloved, that is true. That is true. All people will stand before God on that day of judgment. But Daniel here seems to be referring, as Dr. Sinclair Ferguson puts it in his commentary, to those who have been put to death in the great tribulation just described. Ferguson goes on to prove what he writes there, quoting from Revelation 20, which speaks of the first resurrection. It's just kind of an odd phrase put in there at Revelation 20. I think Daniel 12 here helps us understand it better. In verse 4 of Revelation 20, it states, those who have been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and those who had not worshipped the beast, that who is, it seems, is raised during that first resurrection. So it appears that a unique subset of the elect who have died during the tribulation have then are raised first on the day of resurrection. And then immediately after them, everyone else who has died is brought back to life in order to stand before the great white throne of God. Notice too how from verse 1 we learn that Michael, the great prince, and whom the New Testament book of Jude refers to as an archangel, and understand, congregation, archangels are those heavenly beings second only to God himself. Michael, we're told there in verse 1, is in charge of your people. Now, Daniel in his day would have understood that phrase, your people, to mean his fellow Jewish people, Abraham's physical descendants. But beloved, we must not miss from our text at the very end of verse 1 that that phrase ultimately includes everyone whose name shall be found written in the book of life that we just read about from Revelation chapter 20. And so this means that Michael is in charge of all of God's people, all of his elect, Jew and Gentile alike, slave and free, male and female, all who are one in Christ Jesus, as Paul puts it in Galatians 3, verse 28. All of these, then, are the wise people described in verse 3. Take notice of that. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever, they will be given places of honor and blessing in glory that comes after the resurrection, after the judgment, after sin and death have been put away and the new heavens and the new earth have been given to us. But in this horrible time of tribulation, it is God's people who will ultimately be wise. as to what is going on all around them. That is how they will then shine like stars in the universe, even down here upon this earth, not just waiting for that day of judgment, but right now, today, shining like stars in the universe, as Paul puts it in Philippians 2. And you know, Proverbs 9, verse 10 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that means that godly wisdom, it enables us to look at this world as it truly is. Yes, we see heartache, troubles, problems, hurt, and pain all around us. But we can look at all of this through eternal eyes. Eyes that understand that this world is but a preparation for the real world that is yet to come, the new heavens and the new earth. We can see the true nature of the problems going on around us. And so we know to look to the only one who can solve these problems, fix our hurts and pains. We don't look at the things of this world and try to find our salvation there. It is only in the Lord Jesus Christ that we have blessing. So this godly wisdom, this eternal perspective, is what sets us apart as God's people from all the other people of this world. And that distinction is alluded to in verse 4. Take notice of that. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Beloved, isn't that last sentence there an apt summary of what we see going on with most of the people around us in this world? People running to and fro, seeking knowledge, but looking in all the wrong places to find it. We live in an age, congregation, that emphasizes feelings over facts, that sides with tolerance instead of truth. The culture around us despises doctrine and accepts instead any philosophy that promises pleasure and happiness. That they'll pursue with all their heart. Oh, but beloved, such philosophies have no answer when life falls apart. When this world gets hard, when trials descend upon us, and so these people seek sedatives to dull their pain. Perhaps actual sedatives, such as pills, drugs, alcohol, or alternative sedatives, such as pouring yourself into your work when life at home just gets too hard, or seeking affirmation in the arms of another when your husband no longer seems to notice you. Beloved, you see, when life gets hard, our fallen hearts will have us run to and fro, looking anywhere other than where true relief is found, which is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only in God's holy word can we know true blessing. And this is why Daniel is given the command that he is at the very beginning of verse 4. It's a unique one, but listen closely. You, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Now we must realize here, congregation, that this is not a command from God to hide his word from the world and from other people. But rather, it's an instruction for Daniel to store up God's word in a safe place so that future generations will have easy access to it and can be blessed by it. The psalmist spoke of this in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." And so, beloved, you see, to be truly wise, to be able to endure even through the deepest of afflictions, we must be people of the Word. That Word hidden here in our heart, that we may bring it out whenever it needs to be spoken to the people who are hurting around us. The Word, God's Word, is life. And so, beloved, may you be truly wise and feed upon it daily until the time of the end. Secondly, here this morning then, with verse 5, we are brought back again to Daniel's response after this vision has been fully revealed to him. And this is really where we were, you might remember, at the very beginning of chapter 10. So Sunday mornings ago, when in verse 4, Daniel tells us that he was standing on the bank of the great river. And we said then, you remember, that's the Tigris River in Persia. And he was talking to that heavenly being who was hovering over the water, speaking to him. And so remember that beginning of chapter 10. And then there's this long interlude in between that it reveals to us what that actual vision was that Daniel saw. And remember how it brought him and made him as though a dead man. He just was so overwhelmed by this final vision. And this is where we begin. This is where verse 5 picks up again. Look at that with me. Verse 5, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, 'How long shall it be till the end of these wonders?' And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. And I said, 'Oh my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things?' And he said, 'Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end.'" Now stop there, beloved, and take notice of the two essentially unanswered questions that are asked in these verses. Because you see, both of them are exactly the same questions that so many people still today ask whenever this topic of end times comes up and is discussed. How long shall it be? And how is this going to happen? In other words, tell me exactly. I want to know. And we ask these questions, beloved, because we want to know more than what God has revealed to us. And here is exactly where Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, needs to be remembered by us. Let me read it for you. "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Can you hear how again Moses instructing God's people who are asking the same thing? Well, how will this be? What's going to happen? How long is it going to take? Moses is saying, no, God's revealed this much to us. Follow that word and he'll take care of the rest. And that's what essentially that truth is the answer that's given to these two common questions that are asked here verse 6, and then again in verse 8. But take notice how the answer given to verse 7, to the question in verse 7, of how long, notice it's an oblique one at best. Time, times, and half a time. That's how long it will be. And the answer given in verse 9 to Daniel's question in verse 8 of how is it going to happen, what's going to go on there, is basically, it's not for you to know, Daniel. Don't worry about it. The Lord has everything under control. So, beloved, be sure you understand that the general time markers given in verse 7 as an answer to the first question of how long, and even those more specific numbers given Daniel in verses 11 and 12 as an answer to that second question of how is this all going to take place, these are not given to Daniel so that he could go home and take out his calculator and his slide rule and begin making predictions about when the world was going to come to an end. We all want to know that, and so did Daniel. But God says, no. That's not for you to know. I'll take care of it. Remember what we said when We studied chapter 9 and those 70 weeks of Daniel that are spoken of there. Remember what we said, how numbers in apocalyptic literature are nearly always emblematic of greater, deeper spiritual truth and should not be taken literally to try to come up with the exact day or month or time. And in this case, as the book of Daniel comes to a close, beloved, realize the greater truth is that God's prophet is told, go your way, Daniel. Go your way. Look at verse 9 again. He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Now, congregation, to our ears today, an answer like this sounds a bit abrupt, even uncaring. I mean, after all, Daniel was simply asking an honest and legitimate question. He, after all, is God's prophet to God's people still in exile. He just simply wants to explain more fully to them. He knows they're going to have questions, so he just wants to speak properly for the Lord. But notice, too, how this very same divine command is repeated in verse 13. Take notice of that. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. Realize, congregation, that this angel is not being cold and uncaring for Daniel here. Instead, he's reminding God's prophet that what he must ultimately do is trust in his sovereign God. He really needs to know nothing more than that. Daniel can rest assured in the great blessing that he has, being one of God's people, as he lives his life here upon this earth. And yes, this is an admittedly fallen and broken earth. That is true. It was true in Daniel's day. It's still true in ours. But it is a world that is not scary when we walk down life's path hand in hand with the Lord God Almighty. And that is the truth that's being reinforced to us in this last verse of this great Old Testament book. Look again at verse 13. Go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. This brings us to the third point of the message this morning, beloved, the final blessing. Now, this angel is reminding God's prophet that you can go your way, Daniel. Go out into that hard and difficult world, and you need not worry in the least about doing so, because God has all of this under his firm control. He knows the time, times, and half a times. He knows the days. He knows the events. So you don't need to know all this. The Lord Almighty has this all figured out exactly, right down to the last detail. Nothing occurs on this earth that is outside of his hand or is a surprise to the Lord. And so you, Daniel, you're simply called to rest, to be wise in this world. Trust in your sovereign God to guide you. And then go out through those doors and out into that world and testify by how you live of God's greatness. The world may be falling apart around you, Daniel, but you can stand firm and confident, trusting in the Lord. And congregation, think back of our 13-week study now of this book of Daniel. Hasn't that been the message in absolutely every chapter of this book? In chapter 1, we saw God's preservation of Daniel and his three friends when they stood firm in the Lord and chose not to partake of the delicacies of Babylon. In chapter 2, under the threat of death, Daniel stands firm and is given insight by God to both know and then to interpret the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. In chapter 3, Daniel's three friends stood firm and trusted in the Lord and are preserved alive despite of being thrown in the fiery furnace. In chapter 4, after being humbled by the Lord, Nebuchadnezzar stands firm and makes his own profession of faith in this great, mighty, miracle-working God of Daniel. And in chapter 5, after the handwriting appears on the palace wall, Daniel stands firm for the Lord and boldly confronts Belteshazzar with his great sin, urging him to repent. And in chapter 6, God preserves Daniel in the lion's den. He stands firm even though he's maliciously accused by jealous co-workers. In chapter 7, the Lord shows Daniel in his first vision how he can stand firm by trusting in that Son of Man who reigns and rules over all the other kingdoms of this world. And in chapter 8, in his second vision, Daniel is shown the immediate future of his people with the rise of Persia and Greece and how they can stand firm if they will trust in God. And in chapter 9, Daniel prays for his people because hard times are coming for them. And the Lord promises that he will care for them and they will stand firm. In chapter 10, the beginning of this final vision, Daniel was reminded that he could truly be strong and courageous, stand firm by trusting in the Lord his God, even though his heart is shaking. In chapter 11, in the midst of great struggle, in wars and rumors of wars, remember we looked at last week, God's people can stand firm and take action because the Lord is sovereignly ruling over it all. Yes, this world is profoundly broken. God's people will not find it easy living here on this sin-filled earth. But for those who are wise, those who trust in the Lord, we can yet live confidently in Christ. And beloved, isn't that the message that we still need to not only hear ourselves, but spread to those people around us today? Those who are shaking, those who look around them and shake their heads and have no understanding of where they can turn or how they can find comfort. We can stand firm and live confidently, even in the face of viruses. In spite of unsettling elections and unchecked rioting in city streets, of wildfires and in the mountains of the West and hurricanes decimating the deep South. Truly, the world around us screams out of control. But through these things, God's people stand firm. Just as verse 10 tells us, we will be purified. We who are truly wise can stand confidently before God on that day that we are called home because by grace alone, through faith alone, we have been made white by the shed blood of Jesus Christ alone. We've been refined by Jesus' perfect righteousness. This is how verse 13 then can assure Daniel that he will one day rest in the sleep of death. But it also tells him that one day he and all of God's people will be raised from the dead and they will take their stand in their allotted place in glory for all eternity. Loved by God. And beloved, that precious promise, that promised blessing given to us as well by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. This book of Daniel, congregation, was written to give God's people hope in the midst of affliction. And this is what it gives us still today. As God's people still in exile, still waiting that final glorification of the new heaven and the new earth, we wait in confident hope for the coming day of the Lord, when sin and Satan will be forever put away from us, and we will finally be able to serve the Lord our God with all of our heart with gladness. May that day be soon. And so we too pray, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Father in heaven, we do thank you for this word of confidence, even in the midst of affliction. We thank you that you have given us these great truths from your holy word. that as they were true for your Old Testament people, so they are still true for us as your New Testament people. Lord, we know that they will be true until that day, that final day ultimately comes. We do pray, Heavenly Father, Maranatha. May that day come soon. May Jesus Christ come on the clouds of heaven, descending to this earth to judge the living and the dead. And Heavenly Father, may we be found confident on that day. Even as we see your great holiness and we tremble before it, yet we have our Savior, Jesus Christ, who will take us by the hand, lift us up, and declare us your very own. Heavenly Father, we pray, may that day be soon. May you watch over and be with each one of these, your people, as they go forth. May they live such confident lives before this world that they too may be able to give the reason for the hope that is within them. Grant this blessing to them. Guide us through your Holy Spirit's power. In Jesus' name alone we pray. Amen.